Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, step right up. Behind this curtain lies a ghastly concoction of delight, horror, fantasy, and terror. Your every wish is our command. Your every whimsical desire brought to life. But I'm warning you, there's always a price. Welcome to the greatest show on earth!
And welcome back to the greatest show on earth that is Talking Terror. As always, I'm your old pal, the King of Horror, Andy G, returning to the show after taking one night off. I hope the boys had a great time last week. I hope you had a great time last week listening to the episode, but I'm back now, so we're in good hands. Just like a good neighbor, the King of Horror is always there. But as always, I am joined by the bold and the beautiful, the Ghoul Geek Keith.
Hold on. I'm just making a pit stop in this local rest area. All right. I am good to. Who goes there? God is.
Oh my God.
Hello everybody and welcome to the glory hole.
As we are going to be. We are going to be talking about the Demonic Demons film pick of the week later on in the episode, Glorious, directed by Rebecca McKendry, which involves glory holes. Some are fun, some are weird, some have a demigod on the other side. So who knows? We're going to be talking about that later on in the show. We'll figure out when we get there. We're also joined by the psychotic simian, the man monkey, the prisma Morris Day. Yeah, let's get funky with it, monkey.
Yes, King! You know what time it is, right, fans? It's time for Talking Terror, your favorite horror podcast in all of the interwebs. Oh, where are we coming to you? It's live in your ears. Every Wednesday, 9 to 11 Eastern time. But if you catch us live, don't worry, baby. You can always catch us on the flip side on Blog Talk, Spotify, and iTunes. Just remember to sit there and like and subscribe to Talking Terror on Facebook and Instagram, baby!
That's all right, Nancy. All right. I love it right out the gate. All that cocaine, all that monkey. I love it. And we're also joined by Queen Elizabeth II's right-hand man, the Demonic Dean, everybody. Lord Misty Ray.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. It's the Demonic Dean. He's on the show. And now he's gone. Oh, he left. Oh, he immediately just took a left turn and left. Okay. Well.
Parade wave. Oh, parade wave. Oh, hello, subjects.
Did he at least, hello. Did he parade wave on the way out or no? He just turned and was like, I'm gone.
I was like, oh, no, he's already waving. No, no. God save the queen. Dean. He is not there again.
Dean seems to be more of a king's man than a queen's guy, you know? Oh.
That's okay. She's not bigger than the Beatles, apparently, so we learned that last week. So, we will wait the Dean to come back, hopefully join us. Hopefully he's not having too many technical issues. So with that being said, yes, I did take last week off, and I got to see Tim Capello, and I got to watch a ton of movies, including Clerks 3, Pearl, and Barbarian. So I had a big week at the movies on my time off. There he is. Hello, Dean.
Hello,
a warm welcome back to Talking Terror.
Thank you.
After your week off.
I know.
Your first voluntary week off from Talking Terror.
It was fun
to see Tim Capello. I hope it was worth it for you. I hope you had a grand time. And
fantastic.
I hope you enjoyed all the other movies that you got to see in your time off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely thank you so much. Yeah, because I definitely wanted to take the time off that I had from work to watch a movie. So, yeah, I got to see Clerks 3, Pearl, Barbarian. Clerks 3 won the weekend for me. I mean, I love Pearl, don't get me wrong, but Clerks 3, what a fucking gut punch of an emotional, fun ride that was. So I hope you guys get to check it out. It's on a road show right now, so it's limited engagement. So if you want to go see it, I think they're doing a couple more shows for the end of the month. So I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet, but I will be looking forward to seeing it. I will say that, upon its initial release, I really wasn't that big of a fan of the second installment, but I have my stance on it has softened and warmed in the time since its release. So I've seen things that make me feel that I will like this current third film, and I am looking forward to seeing it very much.
Yeah, if you like the first Clerks, I think you'll definitely appreciate Clerks 3 better than Clerks 2. I mean, there are references to Clerks 2, but it's more in line with the first one. So if you are a fan of that one, I think you're going to have a good time.
Obviously.
So, and seeing where these guys are, you know, years later in their careers of Quick Stop, where Jay and Silent Bob are. I mean, it's a very funny movie, but also very emotional. So that's what I keep telling everybody. Like, get ready to pull out the tissues at a certain point, because that's the consensus. Very good.
These are the things I have heard.
Fucking Kevin, man. He gets me. You know what I mean? I totally, you know, I'm excited to see it. It's one of those where, because unfortunately with the limited theatrical run, you know, it's only playing in certain theaters. The theaters that it's playing at, they're you know, I don't know, 30 to 35 minutes away from where I'm at. They're not. It's an A-list excluded. So even going to, you know, to AMC, I'll have to pay for it anyway. But the show times are typically 7 to 7.30, with some like 9 to 9.30 show times. So I've just kind of been like pushing it off because I just don't feel like doing the late showing. I had seen that at the Atlantic Highlands Movie House that supposedly on the schedule they had it stated somewhere that they were going to do like a 4 o'clock showing or whatever it is. But then when you go to that site, there is no 4 o'clock showing at all. There's the same time frame. So I will get to it. I have not at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's an engagement. It's a Fathom event. So Kevin Smith did an intro before the movie. And I was like, oh, shit, this is new. I was like, what is this? And I was like, oh, it's a Fathom event. That's why. So he's doing like a special little intro, the intro of the movie and talk about it a little bit. There was a Q&A afterwards and a making of after the credits were over. So it's one of those things
very
where it's
cool.
Like, if you want to stay around and watch it, you can. I mean, I stayed, but it was fun, you know, to be able to see that. And then, of course, Pearl, I recommend a prequel to Ty West, X. I know somebody asked me, should I see X first or should I see Pearl first? And I was like, we'll see Pearl first. It's a prequel movie, so you're not going to really be missing anything. Yeah.
Yeah, but doesn't that go against what Ty West has outlaid as far as his storytelling?
It is. I mean, that's not how he recommends seeing. He thinks that you should see X first and then Pearl, but I don't care. Like, you know, I mean,
I agree.
I watched the movie and I thought, yeah, you can watch this first and then go into X and have a better understanding of who Pearl is as a person, as a psychopath.
And, you know, in the realm of X and Pearl, I'm sure you've seen The News King, and we did talk about it here in this early portion of the program last week, but the third installment, and I believe you actually brought it up in our group chat, but we talked about this on the news last week, Maxine, taking place in the 1980s, third installment in this trilogy. So I feel like this has all come about so very rapidly from the time that X has hit the screen to where we are now. But hey, if it's bringing it in and it's bringing in the people, then so be it.
Well, Maxine isn't in the film yet. They just had a teaser.
Hmm.
Go ahead, Monkey.
No, I know.
I was going to say, though, that I heard, like, you know, over the weekend, though, no pun intended, but Pearl and Barbarian both, you know, fucking killed at the box office, man. Like, because Pearl was number two in the box office and Barbarian was number three.
Yeah, I didn't like Barbarian. You know, I liked it, but I didn't love it. You know, it's one of those movies where, like, it kicked in, and then it was going, and then all of a sudden it was over, and I was like, that's it? Like, we're at the credits already? Okay, well, I mean, that flew by. But, I wasn't that impressed by Barbarian. I mean, I appreciate new horror that's original, not a remake, not a redub, or anything like that. But, you know, it's coming from Zach Cregger, who was a part of The Whitest Kids You Know. So there was, like, a lot of, like, misstep humor in it. And I was like, okay, so that's what happens when you get a comedy guy and he wants to write a horror script. You know, he injects a lot of weird humor. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think actually Monkey's going on last week's numbers for that as well. Because this week, actually, this past weekend, The Woman King was actually the number one in the box office. Barbarian and Pearl mm-hmm. were number one and two the following, you know, the prior weekend. But so like we know a lot of times when it comes down to like horror films, this nature, unfortunately, being number one doesn't always necessarily mean you made a lot of money. It just means there may not have been a lot of people at the theater that particular weekend with, you know, I think Barbarian only made like $3 million, and I think Pearl brought in about $3 million as well. I think Barbarian now mm-hmm. is at like six total. I know The Woman King, which actually looks kind of interesting. I mean, it's kind of like a play on those, I don't know, from what I can see, like the Black Panther, I forget what they're called, but those woman warriors. It's like some mm-hmm. kind of village of women warriors of that nature, but it's all based on like either true, like if not necessarily true events, it's based on true, you know, like a true sect of people. And yeah, that killed it. It actually brought in like $19 million. So, you know, good for them.
Yeah.
That's definitely one that's on my list to see. But so is Pearl.
And
Barbarian.
And Woman King, the lead for that is the chick that played Amanda Waller, right, in the Suicide movies?
Yeah, Viola Davis.
Viola Davis.
Yeah, because I saw, like, interviews where, you know, she would say, like, you know, having to go through all this physical training for this movie and stuff like that. And, you know, at the beginning, she's like, oh, my God, I'm 55, I can't do this, you know. And by the end of the training, she's like, oh, my God, I'm 55 and I'm fucking kicking ass. Look at me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She looks phenomenal. You know, not even just the mm-hmm. even just say, like, wow, you know, a woman of her age, she looks phenomenal. No, just in general, she looks phenomenal in the role. I mean, you know, like, if you remember Tina Turner, I mean, obviously, look, Tina Turner was always in great shape. But Angela Bassett, when she played Tina Turner in What's Love Got to Do with It, like, the shape that woman got in, like, Viola Davis is, like, right there with her, man. I mean, the musculature is there. It's fantastic. So again, kudos all around. The production looks great.
Yeah, no, I saw some of the trailers when I went to go see the movies that I went to go see. And another one of those movies I might put on my radar. Maybe I'll watch it at home. I don't know if I'm going to go to the theater to see it. But, you know, we had talked about previously about Dawn of the Dead being released in 3D coming out next month. Of course, there's no theaters around me. But, you know, I'd like to think that I blew the dean's mind when I said there's a showing of Halloween 1978 coming October 10th. And a couple of days of engagement. So he got on it. I got on it. So I can't wait to see that on the big screen leading up to Halloween Ends on the 14th.
I will be doing it at the Regal Theater in North Brunswick. So I will be joining you guys as well and watching.
I can't wait.
At that theater.
I can't wait. What is the date that you're going?
King, I haven't bought my tickets. I just know that they're playing it there. So I will be going to go see it.
Oh, I'm going on Monday, October 10th, 5:40.
Okay. I've been having some trouble with my connection, but we're talking about 1978. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. I have a fun weekend planned surrounding this. I will be going on Thursday. I will be going on Thursday the 13th to see the 1978 version, and then on Friday the 14th, we'll be going to see Halloween Ends. So it's like a lovely bookend. With the original and, you know, for all intents and purposes, this is the final.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a nice, like, evening back-to-back bookend of these two films. So I'm kind of stoked about that.
Completely agree. And seeing the OG on the big screen.
Yes. And obviously to get the opportunity. And, you know, I don't know, you know, these kinds of screenings have happened, you know, over the years and everything. And it's not something that I've ever pursued with any kind of fervor, but I don't know if it's just all of the downtime from the pandemic or just, you know, the getting older and the deeper love and appreciation for these films continuing to grow. But it's like whenever I see one of these in this category pop up, I'm like, I feel so compelled that I have to go and see it. It was the same feeling that I had with the opportunity to see Jaws and IMAX, of course, but to see Halloween 1978 on the big screen, like, in a way, it's like a fucking dream come true. You know, I'm really fucking stoked about it.
First time?
And then
nice.
I've never seen 1978 on the big screen. Yeah.
Okay, my third time.
The only Michael Myers that I've seen on the big screen, I saw Halloween 5 on the big screen, mm-hmm. and I've seen 2018, and I've seen Ends, and that's it. Like, I didn't see Part 6. I didn't see any of the Rob Zombie shit.
Nope. Fuck that shit.
See, unfortunately for me, it was, you know, my big screen Michael Myers was 6, was H2O, not Resurrection. You know what? I was so done with the franchise after H2O.
Over it.
I was not going to give them a dime of my.
Yeah.
I was over it with 6, to be perfectly honest with you. The whole thing that drew me back for H2O, obviously, was Jamie Lee. You know, she was the draw for me to come back. You know, I remember all the freaking footage, you know, him and her, the window, the door, all that shit. It was like, oh! And then it was a WB movie.
That's it.
So,
it was like Dawson's Creek meets Halloween. Yeah, all the way through.
And then, I never did the terrible zombie movies in the theater either. Honestly, I think we watched, you and me, Dean, I think, watched the first Rob Zombie movie together during one of our nights, man.
No, I don't think that we did.
No?
I'm pretty sure I watched it on my own, like, in my bedroom. I feel like I legitimately, like, after the whole, like, opening exposition, once it, like, crossed over, I remember sitting in my bed, like, watching the TV. Like, I remember all of the hype leading up to it that, Rob Zombie's own spin, and he's put up his own personal thing on it. And, yeah, the whole opening sequence, young Michael Myers, et cetera, was a unique and original compared to the original film. But then, like, the second half was like a note for note remake. I remember sitting there watching it, and I'm pretty sure I was like sitting on my bed in the bedroom, going, "It's the same fucking movie. Like, it's exactly the fucking same. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah,
it changed the whole fucking thing. Sure, the opening was different.
Yeah,
but whatever.
Yeah, he pulled the Gus Van Sant Psycho from '98. He's just like, I'm just going to do a beat-for-beat remake. And I saw all of them in theaters, 6 through Rob Zombies 2, and then the new ones. So, yeah, I've seen them all in the theater, you know, regretfully, you know, the Rob Zombie movies. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's Michael Myers, so of course I'm going to go see it. You know, it doesn't mean it's going to be good, you know. No, but, you know, you got to go see it because it's Michael and, you know. But, yeah, I was talking
the kids
to the
monkey. You know, the little monster was like, hey, you know what? You know, it's coming out on the 14th. It's coming out on the 14th. We should go. We should go again and go see it.
Watch
on Peacock. Bring my friend Dream and go. No, we went to the theater the last time and watched it, and we'll do that
again.
I'm
gonna do both.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, the big screens, the loud noises, all that stuff. That's all part of the experience.
Loud noises.
So, loud noises.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I like I was saying, I was talking to the monkey about a friend of mine who watched the Rob Zombie remakes recently of Halloween, and she was like, you know what, I don't know what year these movies take place in. Like, I know the beginning says it's like the 80s, but then he goes back to the 70s, like with the remake portion. I was like, no, it's not the 70s, it's modern times. Rob Zombie's just confused. Like, he has like an embolism in his brain where he just thinks it's the 70s all the time. So even though it's in modern times, you know, they have cell phones and they have modern technology.
Yeah,
you know,
it's modern
he's just
times.
Stuck in 76.
They have phones. Can't you tell? Look, that's to let you know it's today.
Well, I think
if I remember, in the
beginning, I think only in the extended edition of the first Rob Zombie movie, I think that gives you a title card that says like 76 or 78 or something like that. It gives you a year. I remember that.
Yeah.
But that's the only version that has it. The original version, the idea
was
kind of like a random timeless period in the 70s is what you're supposed to think. And then obviously it fast forwards to whatever present date, you know, you're supposed to be at or however many years after that event.
Yeah, and all the guys have to have long hair. You know, all the teen boys, you know, because there's no such thing as short hair if you're a teen in Rob Zombie's world. Like, okay, come on. Nobody's like, I want a haircut. Nobody. So, you know.
Nobody
they're
has
metal.
A mom saying, yeah, you.
They're metal, man. Don't you get it?
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
But no one, no one has an asshole mom saying, you better fucking cut that hair.
No. And even the first one that he did, like, I didn't mind Malcolm McDowell as Loomis. Like, it wasn't bad. It was like, okay, this isn't pleasant. I mean, it's Malcolm McDowell, but it's okay. But then for the second one, he's like, I'm going to make him a complete fucking douchebag. So I think, you're going to fucking hate him. You're going to fucking hate Loomis by the end of this movie. And I was like, I do, and I don't want to hate Loomis. He's supposed to be the hero. Like, he's supposed to be the guy that stops Michael. But instead, he's like, I have a book, and I want to make a movie, damn it. And he's like, all right, no, I don't like this. I don't like this Loomis. He's just, he
I'm
going to
reveal
like,
the monster
you...
that we all created.
Yeah. You know, going on to the Chris Hardwick show with Weird Al Yankovic as a guest, and he's like, oh, damn it. Poor booking. And, you know, so, you know, no, it's just, it's terrible. I am an asshole. That fucking line. Yeah.
I'm sure it was very much a Michael Caine moment. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm coming back. He's going to give me a paycheck to do it, and I'm just going to do what I feel like doing with it, and that's about it. You know what? If people want to hate Loomis, they're going to hate Loomis.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then it works, you know. Like, when he tells his publicist, if I want your opinion, they'll beat it out of you. I was like, okay, whoa. I'm taking a little bit too far there, Loomis, so, you know, but, yeah. That was his vision.
Evil is in everybody.
Did you read the other book I wrote? It's brilliant. Okay. It's not. But, you know, so.
That's him channeling Rob Zombie trying to say, you know, I'm a real director.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And somehow people have gotten a copy of The Munsters that he did. I don't know how. But, like, people on my Facebook feed are like, oh, this movie sucked. I'm like, where did you find a copy of it already? It doesn't come out until the 27th. And nobody wants to tell me how. I'm like, oh, we got to travel the high seas, I guess. Hop on that pirate ship. Because there's people talking about the movie already. You know?
I mean, leave me out of this. I'm not fucking watching that movie.
I was going to say, why wouldn't you get in touch with the lead pirate that you know and find out where to find it? What? Monkey.
Yeah,
Paul.
I just, well, he's not going to look for it because he doesn't want any part of it. But
no.
I don't really, I'd rather just wait for it to come out in the 27th and be just appalled like everybody else. So, you know, a 2.5 hour movie, you know, which is has like an hour worth of plot. Can't wait.
You
like fucking Terrifier being ballsy enough to be 2.5 hours.
Monkey, sail those streams. And plunder the riches that is Rob Zombie's The Munsters.
No, I'm not plundering anything. I'm not plundering anything involving Cheryl Moon Zombie.
Yeah, that'll be the one that gives your computer a virus that kills it. God damn it! The one time. God damn you, Rob Zombie! My computer's dead.
By herpes again. God damn it, monkey!
Because space herpes.
My computer shot itself.
Fucking space herpes, man. God, I love my spider.
Yeah. But all right, with that being said, Dean, what do you have for us for horror news? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm going to kind of start off right with what we were just talking about because you're welcome. And we just talked about the opportunity that we were going to have to see Halloween 1978 in the theaters through Regal. I have learned, and unfortunately, this experience is not taking place anywhere near me, even though it says nationwide, and I live in a major like city area of the country. But a film company called Cinelife is also going to be... Cinelife is going to be screening not just the original 1978 Halloween in the theaters this Halloween season, but they are also going to be screening Halloween 4 and Halloween 5 nationwide as well. So this is not through the Regal experience. You would have to go to the Cinelife website to see if these are going to be screening in your area, but I saw this and was like, oh man, like I would totally fucking go and see 4 and 5 in the theater as well. And unfortunately, as of this time, there are no screenings in my area. But if anybody or you guys out there are interested in pursuing that, again, you would need to check out Cinelife for their Halloween and Halloween 4 and 5 special screenings.
Interesting. Yeah, it's worth seeking out. And, yeah, as somebody who just returned to Regal after, like, a number of years when I went to go see these three movies, that theater was the cleanest theater I'd ever been to. The seats were so comfortable. But it also reminded me of being a kid because there was nobody taking tickets So, yeah, you could scan your ticket and go see a movie. But then, like, afterwards, if you want to go see another one, you could just sneak in. Like, I was like, oh, man, this reminds me about being a kid again. You know, like, yeah,
you know
the movie ended. I'm going to go in another one.
Well, you know why the theaters are so clean, right? It's because there's not enough
nobody
people
going to them.
That's also why you can so easily hop from one. I'm surprised I don't – like, I guess I'm not surprised I don't see it happening more often because there's really not – like, there's almost never anybody in these theaters, you know. And I know I go at some odd times, you know. I'm going on a Thursday at, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm not going to your prime movie-going experiences
on,
like, Friday night and
right.
Saturday night
when,
and stuff like
exactly.
that. Saturday early day. But
– similar
again,
to
like,
the Ghoul
know, like,
when I – oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, like, I just went last week to go see a Bollywood film called Brahmastra, and, like, that has probably been the most packed theater I had been in a while, and I
really?
Thought it was probably, I don't know, like 25, 30 people in there. You know,
no
it was a 3D showing. And, yeah, it was, like, families and everything. And you know, again, if you like that kind of cinema, Monkey, I think you'd actually enjoy it. It's kind of like a almost like
3D
a Marvel
Bollywood
film.
Movie?
It's like almost a Marvel-esque film where they're trying to build their own thing called the Astroverse. It's kind of like Marvel meets a little bit of like the Avatar, The Last Airbender stuff. I think you'd dig it, man. It was a lot of fun.
What's this one called again, please?
Brahmastra Part 1, Shiva.
Cool. Thank you very much.
You have to look that up, my
guy. Very welcome. Now, Dean, what were you going to say, man?
I was going to say, similar to you, for these kinds of screenings, I go to the, like, odd random times that works around our schedule out here. Like, I was just going to say, when I saw Jaws and IMAX, I went to a Sunday night 10:20 showing, you know, like, by myself. There was, like, half a dozen other nerds there, like me, you know, but it wasn't a packed house, of course. I have no idea what the screenings were like at other times, but I went to, like, a weird time.
Me and Sam went prime time. There was me, her, I think maybe five other people total in the theater. And I know for a fact that there were at least two other people that were like four rows behind us because they had their tickets right after when I bought Sam's ticket because I got mine originally and it was empty. And then I think when we got there, they were like, you know, again, I think maybe total six people were in the theater for Jaws. And you're talking like IMAX. So it's this gigantic, sprawling movie theater, you know, huge screen, freaking stadium-style seating, and, like, just a small handful of people, you know. And I'm enjoying it because, you know, like I say, like, I'll go to these movies, and there's been times now where I've been in an IMAX theater literally by myself, kicking my feet up, watching it, feeling like I am, like, the wealthiest person in the world. Like, woohoo, look at my movie theater. But at the same time, too, you know, it's going to be painful when this, like, really starts to affect the theater industry in a negative way and theaters start closing because of it, because that's going to be a drag. Because, you know, like I said, I've even gotten tickets before for a movie and went to see it just because it was empty otherwise. And me being the, you know, disturbed individual that I can be at times is like, well, if nobody's there to watch the movie, doesn't the movie's feelings get hurt? You know, like that type of deal. And, you know, it's like, well, I mean, like if a fucking bear shits in the woods and nobody's there, does it smell? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But, yeah, that's how I felt about the movie. You know, the poor movie was like there. It's playing. They have them playing in empty theaters. So it's playing to fucking nobody. It's playing to the ghosts.
Yeah. I had that exact thought when I went to go see Barbarian on Sunday, because there's only like four people in the entire theater aside from me. And I was like, oh shit. Like if nobody showed up, like this movie would still be playing. There would be nobody sitting here, but the movie would still be going. Like, it's just kind of weird. Like, you know, to think about that. Like, there's actually going to be a showing. Nobody's attending. Kind of like bum me out a little bit.
it's
somebody that loves
thought,
the theater.
You know what I mean? And then even from like a, even from like an energy standpoint too, though, you got to think about that. How many theaters are now like, you know, wasting energy and lighting and all of these other features for empty seats, you know? And like I said, all of that is eventually going to catch up, and it's going, you know, for people like us who love the theatrical experience, it is going to hit us the hardest, and we're going to be weeping. We're going to be like, fucking we told you, all you people.
I'm going to hate it. I'm just going to be just wearing black the entire week, just being so sad when the theater goes on the decline. It's like when I told Monkey about when I went to go see Pearl, like the Spanish guy that cleans the theaters, he came in. He's like, you enjoy the movie? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, you can go home now. There's nothing left. Like, the credits are playing. I was like, no. There's something at the end. And he's like, no. You can just go home. There's nothing at the end. I'm like, stay here because you're not doing anything. It was only me in the theater, and we're going to see this through. So he stood there next to me, and I was like, wait for it.
Hold my
and then
hand.
At the end of the credits happened, and then all of a sudden they stopped, and all of a sudden there was a teaser for Maxine. And his eyes just fucking got like 10 times bigger. And he's like, oh, man. He's like, there really is something at the end of this. I was like, see, we stayed here. We had something. It was a journey. And he's like, oh, I can't wait for Maxine. And I was like, I know, man. I was like, aren't you glad you stayed? You have to stay at the end of the credits. And I was like, I always stay for the credits. I never leave. Even if there's nothing at the end, I always stay because these people worked on this movie. Like, they should be respected. You know, all these people that worked on it deserve to have their names up on that screen and you to look at them. So I always stay for credits.
Yeah, but on top of that, Marvel changed the game, man. Marvel makes everybody stay in movie theaters now. You know,
Marvel has like 15 credits.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, ever since Marvel started doing this, now nobody leaves the fucking theater after a movie. You know, if anything, everyone starts pulling out their phones and just starts,
and that's
you
what
know,
I...
looking up, does this movie have an end credit scene?
Yep. I saw people doing that during Barbarian, and I was like, I don't even care if there's an end credit sequence, but these two guys behind me pulled out their phones. Is there an end credit sequence? No, there's not, but we still stayed. And we still stayed until the very end because
they pulled out their phone because they saw you sitting and not moving, so they were like, this dude knows something. So that's why.
Yeah, you know what you got to do next time, King? Next time you're in there, right, and like people are doing that, what you need to do is you need to just stand up and start reciting at like the top of your voice, like, you know, Foley artist. This person's name, like just catch a name and what their job was, and just recite it out loud, like as loud as possible, and just be like, these people need to be respected because they've made the film that we just witnessed, and just do it. Just do it completely, man. And yeah, I would love it.
Yeah.
Did you even know who the caterer was in that movie? No, you didn't because you're looking at your fucking phone. It was James.
Craft services provided by.
Yeah. But you're selfish.
I see you, Fiona. I see you, Fiona, with your catering service. I respect you.
Kudos to you for the best food in L.A. Anyway, Dean, moving on. What were we talking about?
If you are in the housing market right now and you would like to move to the Deep South to live in Fayetteville, Georgia, you have the opportunity to purchase a 1,800 square foot home, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms on 6.76 acres of land. And this particular property is the original buyer's house from Stranger Things. It's on the market for $300,000. And if you would like to live in the house of the buyer's family, you have this opportunity right now. But you have to move to Georgia and have $300,000. Or a mortgage approval.
It's not
for that amount.
It's not Indiana.
The light's still there.
Blew my mind.
Interesting, because it was made in Georgia. Because everything's made in Georgia these days, man. It's the new Hollywood.
Made in Georgia.
The photo in the listing that I saw did show the lights, but I don't know if that was an image from the movie or an image that is still inside the actual house. The image from the series.
Yeah, more than likely. You know, it's funny you actually mentioned that about Georgia, Monkey, because, yes, it is quite true. There are a number of tax breaks and things that make it lucrative for, you know, filmmakers to make movies down in Georgia. But, you know, they're actually making a push to kind of make New Jersey that as well now. And there's certain large properties, specific around, like, the Fort Monmouth area. And up in North Jersey as well, where they are looking to put in like some major sized studios to try to bring some filmmaking back to this area of the country as well.
Yeah, and
very
Pennsylvania
cool.
too. They're making pushes to open studios in New York and other places for people to come and get tax breaks. But and Clerks 3 was shot entirely in New Jersey. There wasn't one scene shot in L.A. It was all New Jersey. So thank you, Kevin Smith, for bringing it back, the Garden State. But, yeah, interesting to see these states open up and offer tax breaks. But, yeah, I mean, the only house I'd ever want to live in is the Amityville house, just so I could be like, you know what, nothing happened here. I would open up to fucking everybody. You want to come in? Sure, come on. Come in.
Yeah.
You know, look
we,
at that.
Yeah, we,
nothing happened
we
here.
We told you. And you, yeah, but you still have to have a gift shop. You got to work them through and then end them in the gift shop.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, here's all your Amityville shit.
Oh, it would definitely be right in the entranceway. Like, you know, you have to buy a mug. Or you have to buy a T-shirt. I went to the Amityville house. Yeah, I'll go to the little business. Yeah. Yeah, nothing happened
you know,
here. It's fine. Like, there's no ghosts here.
You know, the whole gift shop thing with that, too, though. You know, going through, like, any kind of event or situation like that in which then they present you the gift shop at the end of it. You know, I think that can be like real hit or miss at times. And like the one example that always comes to my mind for that is the Superman the Ride at Great Adventure. Like you go on Superman the Ride and as you leave through the exit line, which it's a fun ride, don't get me wrong, but as you're taking the exit path out, they then make you walk through the gift shop and out into in back into the park. Now, I can tell you, at no point have I ever stopped in that gift shop to purchase anything. Because I'm like, hey, you know what? I just got off this damn ride. I'm having a good time. I want to go continue having said good time. When I want to buy shit, I'm going to go to one of the myriad other gift shops scattered all throughout the park. I also never find anybody in that same gift shop either. Like, there is never anybody buying anything. Like, normally I might stop for, like, a minute just to, like, talk to the people that are working in there, just to, like, crack a joke or something, because I don't think anybody ever really speaks to them. I kind of feel bad. Kind of like the empty movie theater.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, on the flip side, you finish the Star Wars ride at Disney World, and you end up in the gift shop, the Jawa Trader, and I'm just in there pulling out my wallet. I'm just like, take my money! Holy shit!
Oh yeah, you're a big spender.
Swag.
Those places.
And see, though, even
you're,
more to the point,
you're
with
walking
that
out with armfuls.
With Superman, you got to take you're putting all your shit in your locker, so you don't even have your wallet on you a lot of times because it's in the fucking locker.
Oh,
pull out of your pants.
Yeah. No, and the
hold
awesome
on, go get my wallet. I'll be right back.
No, and that's the awesome thing. That's the awesome and horrible thing about Disney World is sit there, and I was, you know, you go there and it's like you're buying the shit. It's like just ship it to my room. Ship it to my room. You know, you get back into
your
just
room.
Have
you got a whole
bag
of luggage.
Fuck yeah. Which is why on the last day you sit there and then are going to the shipping thing, like the shipping expo, where you're going to have that shit all shipped to your house. But yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. The Jawa Trader, I fucking love that fucking place. Holy shit.
Well, see, and that's it. Like, if I ever own the Amityville house, you know, once you get to the gift shop by the exit, that's when the doors lock. And it's like, oh, no. The ghosts want you to stay and buy a hat. Oh, boy. You better buy something. Otherwise, that door is not going to open. No. The ghosts are telling
you,
buy that T-shirt.
That's
oh,
when you got
shit,
the door.
Do it.
That's when you got the doors rigged where they
kill you.
The yeah. doors like slam shut and start shaking, and you're like, "Oh, the spirits are angry." You better buy
oh, God.
Shit to
oh,
get
no.
I thought
you. Okay.
I thought you.
Okay.
I thought you said this place wasn't haunted.
You could have like a trap door in
the
floor.
Gift shop definitely is.
You can even have a trapdoor in the floor of the gift shop for people that don't want to spend the money, and you can fucking dunk them in that green slime shit that you got in Amityville 3.
Don't be like that guy. Don't be like that guy. Buy a T-shirt, buy a keychain. Personalized for everybody's name. Okay. I just want to go home. Get out to the gift shop. Oh, no. Oh, that would be, see, that's how you do it. That's how you sell merch. That's how you push it at the Amityville house. But, all right, Dean, what's next?
I will tell you what's next, King. There are several items going on in the world of the Cronenberg family that I want to touch on. The first thing is that Brandon Cronenberg, the son of David Cronenberg, has been working with Alexander Skarsgård, as well as actress topic of previous conversation, Mia Goth, on a scientific horror thriller titled Infinity Pool. Infinity Pool was returned to Brandon Cronenberg with an NC-17 rating due to graphic violence and sexual content, and Brandon Cronenberg is currently appealing this rating to the board. So just because of that appeals process is why I brought that up. And then also in the world of David Cronenberg, he is returning to work with Vincent Cassell, who he of the on-screen Brown Bunny Chloe Sevigny blowjob, who he's worked
That's
with
a great movie.
Before on Eastern Promises, as well as a film called A Dangerous Method. They're teaming up for what they're calling an afterlife thriller called The Shrouds. But the thing that stuck out to me that was interesting about this is that David Cronenberg is calling this in some ways an autobiographical film. So I don't know how that works, being that he's still alive and this is an afterlife thriller, but he's saying that this will be in some aspects autobiographical. And then finally, in the Cronenberg, greater Cronenberg universe, he is the executive producer of a Scanners TV series that is going to be coming to HBO. William Bridges of Black Mirror is going to be the writer and showrunner with Jan Demange from Lovecraft Country directing. There is no release date information at this time. So a Scanners TV series.
I like that combo, man. Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I'm on board. That's a good one. All right, so no date as of yet, I'm sure. Just in the early stages.
No, I just said that there's no release date information at this time.
All right, let's go. I mean, I do like the fact that Infinity Pool got the NC-17 and that he's fighting it. It's like, yeah, I kind of like that, but at the same time, it might just go unrated, and release it in the theaters. Who knows? But I mean, it's 2022. Like, yeah.
I mean, here's the thing too, though. So like, okay, let's say you can't get that rating down to an R, right? Like you just said, it's 2022. Your target audience, for the most part, is going to be of age to see that film. So at NC-17, it just, you know what I mean? You really just put out the film as you see it and put it out there, because trust me, you'll probably get more people just on the shock and awe of an NC-17 film being out. Like, holy shit, NC-17, are you kidding me? I'm going to go see that shit in the fucking theater, man. They're going to show titties and pussy and fucking blood. And then it's going to be just a typical standard freaking movie, and everybody's going to be like, well, what the fuck did I go see that for?
But on the flip side, though, when you get stung with an NC-17 rating, though, don't a lot of theaters, though, like, you know, still shun away from carrying movies with an NC-17 rating?
Yes, they do. Yeah. The popular chains won't show it. So you'd have to go to a mom-and-pop type of theater to go see it. So, like, an AMC would not want to – yeah.
And who's that hurting nowadays anyway? It's not like the AMCs are fucking filling up to the brim. The Regals aren't filling up to the brim. You put that in a mom-and-pop theater, guess what you're going to do? You're about to deliver them an entire fucking audience for at least one weekend.
Yep.
And you
Absolutely.
Know what? That's going to do damn good business for them. Yeah, so shit.
That's who wins.
I don't know. I don't do the calculations for these things. I'm not one of those genius money men that come up with all this shit, but it seems like these are the kind of movies that are just prime fucking source. You're going to put out the unrated version on digital anyway, so, you know, that's how I always buy movies, even if I haven't seen it theatrically, I'll watch the unrated version, because why bother watching the rated version?
Yeah, same here.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, you always want to see the unrated version, you know, and that, yeah, AMC is going to be missing out, Regal's going to be missing out, but yeah, the mom and pops are going to be the ones that are like, oh, yeah, we're raking in the money. You know, that's the only place you can go see this movie is by going to this limited engagement, which is how they have to have it. You know, like Course 3, limited engagement. You can make this movie the same thing. You know, it's an unrated NC-17 movie you get to see in the big screen. You know, just make it happen. But a lot of theaters still balk at the idea, but they shouldn't, because they're just losing money, like we've talked about throughout the entire episode. Nobody's going to the movies anymore. They just wait for it to come on home mini, digital, you know, or DVD
people,
or Blu-ray.
Butts in seats equal concessions being eaten, you know, and that's where these theaters are going to make their
cheese,
money.
Baby.
Selling their pretzels and cheese. Selling their popcorn.
Pretzels and
slathering
cheese.
That shit with butter. Yeah. You know, I was unhappy the other week because they had like a brand new like type of cheese or whatever it was. I got it again when I went to the movie the other day, and thankfully, like, whatever brand they're using now is, like, back to, like, my standard of what the cheese needs to be for my pretzels. My pretzel consumption is great.
Somebody complained. Somebody did it for you. Somebody was like, this cheese sucks. Bring it back to the original formula. And they're like, okay.
Well,
you know,
well, the original formula was when they would – they pump that shit into that empty, you know, you'd have that, like, clear tray that had its own little, like, pocket.
Yep.
They just pump that fucking nasty shit into it, man. It started dripping over, like, into your pretzel, like, area. You're like, oh, I love it. I'm going to lick it. I feel like a female porn star, you know, like, oh, cheese.
Oh, I love it
gurgle,
when you get
gurgle,
the pretzel cheese, and they're like, do you want cheese? It's like, fuck yeah, I want cheese. I'm going to eat this fucking dry. Are you kidding me? No, give me that cheese. Give me that. Yeah, fill it up to the top. I want to burn my fucking fingers fucking picking that thing up, bringing it into my feet. Get it.
To him.
So, yeah, glad that's about that. But, all right, Dean, what's next? What are you talking about?
Let's see. I will tell you. House of a Thousand Corpses is going to be releasing a series of 5-inch tall action figures from Trick or Treat Studios, $19.99 a piece. There is going to be the Axe Professor, Baby Firefly, the Sub Killer Doctor, Captain Spaulding, Otis, all the characters.
Doctor Death
was an overboard.
Dr. Death
was also
Williams.
A wrestler, Steve Williams.
Yeah, there you go.
Beat me to it.
All of your favorites. There is also an optional collector's case to hold all of your toys that is priced at $29.99. And once again, this is from your friends at Trick or Treat Studios.
They do look cool, and if you buy all the new figures, you could build your own tiny. So, like, every figure has a piece to put together tiny from House of Thousand Corpses. And I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, if you're a huge fan of that, it's going to be exciting to get all those figures and build your own little tiny. Captain Spaulding was sold separately previously, so can't get him to sign up.
But can you make tiny fuck a stump? You know, can you make him fuck a stump? That, my absolute favorite fucking DVD menu thing. House of a Thousand Corpses.
You know, the
joke. Just had Captain Spaulding, like, coming out and just
Otis
fucking,
and baby.
Cat, it fucked the stump! And he's just humping away.
He's loving it real hard. Yeah, that's a good thing for the DVD. And also, you know, Tiny can't even ride a bicycle.
R.I.P., man. R.I.P.
Yeah, Matthew McGrory, rest in peace. Tiny, one hell of a character who had the epic send-off in Devil's Rejects where he walked back into that house, you know, and died. So very cool for Trick or Treat Studios to be doing that. But all right, what's next, Steve?
I will tell you that the much-anticipated The Boys spinoff, Gen V, that takes place in the College for Supes, this series that is on the way, it's announced that filming has officially wrapped. There is still no release date. In fact, the Boys organization said, "We ain't telling you when it's coming out yet," and I quote. But production has wrapped on Gen V.
All right, so stay tuned for that. Young The Boys,
we ain't
seen the upcoming season 4.
You know, obviously that is something that you will continue to be updated about as we learn more things, because I know on the Talking Terror panel, there's much anticipation for Gen V. I am also, for you comic nerds, that wrapping up the Titan Alcon trilogy that featured Blade Runner 2019 and Blade Runner 2029. This mm-hmm. December is going to be the 12-issue series of Blade Runner 2039, which will wrap up this trilogy. So if you've been reading along in the Blade Runner comic books, there is one more series coming to wrap up this trilogy.
My right. guess is that'll probably cool. also work as a good lead-in into 2049, which was the most recent of the films. So might be fun. Maybe I'll look for it. Maybe I won't.
Well, don't forget you also had the animated series 2039 in between the two Blade Runner movies. Remember, it was a collection of animated shorts that they had done.
No, you know what, man? I didn't watch that mostly because I still had a bad taste in my mouth from the Animatrix. I don't know. Animatrix, where they combine the
Animatrix universe.
Are they zany to the max?
Absolutely. You know, they're also tiny toony, and they're all a little loony.
Wait. No, that's a different one.
I know. I'm just fucking bridging. I'm bridging it all together at this point, man. I'm building my own universe.
The Animatrix universe.
We're doing the WBCU.
Where it's super fun but super dark at the same time. I would pay to see that. The Animatrix universe. You got
go
to plug
away,
the end,
Mr. Go away, Mr. Clown. You scare me.
And then they sing a song about the states. Wow, this is a weird fucking thing. It got dark and then it got light all at the same time. But all right. So what's next thing we're talking about?
Tombstone Pizza. If you are one who eats supermarket frozen pizza, we know Tombstone is one of is one of the brands that is in the very competitive frozen pizza market. They have decided that for this Halloween season, and you can sign up between October 3rd and October 31st, they are going to be giving free pizza to horror fans who live on any Elm Street in the United States.
Well, you can enter...
To win this free pizza, and it's unclear how the prize is going to work because it says, if you are an Elm Street resident, a verifiable and provable Elm Street resident on any Elm Street in the country, you can enter to win a free pizza while supplies last. But then it says one resident of Elm Street will be selected to win free Tombstone pizza for a year. It was hard. The way the ad was written, and I know I explained it, that it sounds like there'll be like multiple winners, like what, some people that just get a pizza versus the free pizza for a year. But the actual ad was a little bit unclear. I don't live on Elm Street, and I don't eat Tombstone pizza, so it's not something I would pursue. You can head over to the Tombstone website to probably gain some clarity and figure out what's going on with the contest. But since none of us live on Elm Street, it does not really apply to us.
Well, geez, now you're just giving out
Tombstone pizza.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
It's in the bottom. It's usually in the bottom of the freezer
section.
Next
to Jack's. Next to Jack's pizza, yeah.
And the Tony's.
And the Tony's. I forgot about the Tony's. But they also have the Stranger Things frozen pizza, the Surfer Boy pizza that I've been eating recently, which has been really fucking good. It's actually really good frozen pizza. You know, it comes in the Stranger Things box and everything like that. But, yeah, Tombstone, man. That's like
Pay
salsa. I didn't know they still made it.
Stranger Things pizza?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have the Surfer Boy pizza. So they have, like, a regular. They have a spicy one with pineapple and jalapeno. Then they have a Supreme. So, yeah, you can get Surfer Boy pizza at your local Walmart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I've
bought a couple.
That.
It's actually pretty good, you know. But, yeah, no, Tombstone, I completely forgot about them. I was like, I'm more of a Jack's guy. I'm going to get frozen pizza. Nope. You know, so yep.
we did have Surfer Boy Pizza here. I just unfortunately I never got a chance to try it. The
oh,
kids
okay.
said it was. They said it was good.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, as far as frozen pizzas go, it was actually really good. You know, and they have cool things in the back you can look at for Stranger Things 4. But yeah, Tombstone, wow, it's taking me back. Like Pace Salsa, New York City. Like, yeah, no, that was a thing back in the 90s.
It's still around, man. What are you talking about?
Is it? Is Pace Salsa still
yeah,
around? Wow.
Dude, yeah, Pace Picante Salsa is still around, brother.
I used to love around here as a kid.
Especially around here where all the, you know, white Trumpers are afraid of anything, you know, that has an actual, you know, Latino name on it. It's like, oh, shit, no.
Even mayonnaise is spicy to them, so I'm surprised they're even picking up salsa.
Dude, man, you know, living around here, the international aisle is tacos and spaghetti. That is the international aisle.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And you might find some, like, Chinese food stuff, if you're lucky.
Yeah,
we have soy sauce. Exactly. We have what choy, and then we have ramen noodles.
Ramen.
We're so advanced.
God, I need to move to a real state.
All right, see, what's next? What are you talking about?
Monkey's like, I wish I had ramen noodles.
No, man, there. I've been to prison. I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, you making them special ones in the toilet, man?
That's where you save them for the wine.
Yep.
Make a sandwich.
Keep my ramen noodles in my prison wallet.
Whoa, hey. Prison pocket, man.
You learn real fast how they make good fucking food in prison, man. You spend, you know, a weekend in lockup. Oh, man. You're finding out all about delicacies that you never even knew existed. Oh, man, all it was a commissary, and I get all this? Oh, man, this is great.
I don't know.
Fucking nachos.
Yeah.
We're fucking just laying around.
What I could say is that the fucking, whatever the chicken patty was, it was the same shit that the fish patty was made out of, and I couldn't tell you which either one of them fucking was. I'm like, because they were both exactly the fucking same. They were both the same flavor, man.
That's why you go to the commissary, dude. That's why you got to save that money. Go to the commissary. They got the good shit. Get the fucking lunch, you know, that they give you. Which is like, what is this, 1985? Like Oscar Mayer fucking baloney?
I didn't spend enough time, okay, to go to fucking commissary. So, the legitimacy of my prison stay is that of a few hours. And, you know, at which point when my roommate was like, you're not eating that? And I'm like, nah, man. He's like, well, can I take it? And I'm like, go right on ahead. And he's like, I love the chicken patties. And I'm just like, yeah. So, I'm happy, man.
So you made a friend. You made a person
yeah,
friend.
No,
that's important.
He was a nice dude. I felt bad. He was a bank robber. You know, he seemed like he was fucking completely out of his mind, but he was a bank robber, man.
Yeah. See, you know, where I stayed, it was only people that just failed to make payments to their baby mama. So, yeah, got me again. Oh, Darnell, you got it.
Nobody knows
you know.
The trouble I see. Nobody knows my sorrow.
So go ahead, Dean. What else you have before we get to the movie?
There, All This Time Later, is going to be a sequel to Constantine with Keanu Reeves returning and Francis Lawrence returning to direct. The original Constantine pulled in $230 million worldwide against a $100 million budget, and truly, in the cultural zeitgeist, has grown in popularity since it saw its time in the theaters back upon its release. So with studios now looking to kind of bring back all kinds of properties in reboots and relaunches and long sequels and whatnot, they're moving ahead with a sequel. And again, the original team, Keanu Reeves and director Francis Lawrence, returning to the fold.
I was a fan of that movie. I saw it in theaters. I liked it. You know, that was the first time that Constantine was a live-action character. And I thought he did a good job. You know, even the video game was actually pretty good back in the day. So I'm excited to see Keanu Reeves return to that character. You know, see where that goes now.
Yeah, also unlike the John Wick things where it's like, you know, Keanu is just definitely showing his age, you know. I think he's definitely going to be able to pull off this role real easy, you know. So,
oh, yeah, 100%.
You know, so, yeah, you know, because poor dude, you know, because he's kind of new John Wick too, you know. So.
I just
Constantine is one that I've never seen. You know, surprisingly, I just
really?
I'll see it on like whatever streaming service and be like, oh yeah, I should watch this eventually. Or they have it on sale for like $4.99, and I'm like, I should buy this, and then I don't. It's just one of those weird ones.
I'm familiar with
the character from the comic book. You know, I'm familiar with him from the television series because they've had him portrayed on there before.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's something that I was like, so maybe I'll check it out now if they're going to bring it back.
Like the tool, I also have not seen Constantine.
I am also one who is a
pretty big fan of Keanu Reeves. But there was a couple of those films he made in that era of time that I have not seen, Constantine being one, and then the other one, I can't think of what it's called right now, but it was with the devil, and Al Pacino was in it.
Devil's Advocate.
I can't think. Yeah,
that's the Devil's Advocate, man. That's a killer film. That's from like the late
80s. That's a great movie.
Yeah,
that movie.
Really, really good movie.
Man, my favorite. Oh my god, my favorite Satan.
I actually just watched that for the first time just a few months ago. So it was always on my list and I just never got to it, and then the cool girl finally was like, you're gonna watch this fucking movie, and I'm like, okay, I'll watch it.
You watch this fucking movie and you'll fucking like it. Okay. I like it.
No nails in the eyes again, please.
Stop looking at me. I'm watching it. I like it. No, man. I saw that in theaters. Devil's Advocate's fucking owning, man. Yeah, Al Pacino as Satan is so good.
Yeah, and like I said, one. Like, I really don't know much about Constantine at all, but I do know the title spaced on me, and I do know what the Devil's Advocate is, and have heard from many different avenues that it's excellent. I just haven't had the opportunity to check it out. So I'm sure I will at some point.
Well, I think you like it.
But I would imagine that I would. But my point is that I know more about that one than I know about Constantine. The Constantine I just know is a Keanu Reeves movie that I haven't seen. I know that it's, you know, something to do with like death and it's like a horror thriller of sorts. I just never saw it. That's all. I mean, I don't know much about
it. It's better. Yeah, and Constantine, it's better to see that movie if you've never read the comic books. Like, if you've never read the Constantine comic books,
I can assure you that I've never read the comic books.
Well, I'm just saying.
I can guarantee you that I've never read the comic book.
If you've never read a comic book from Constantine, you're going to have a good time because you have no source material to go off of. Like, this is just him playing that character, and I think you're going to really enjoy what he does with it. I mean, it does have Shia LaBeouf in it, so if you can get past that, you're gonna be okay, because even
he plays a small minor role, and they do take a lot of liberties from the straying away from the comic book and just concentrate on just making it a fun movie.
Yeah, and Gavin Rossdale is so fucking good as the Archangel Gabriel. Like, you know, you don't think he can act, but man, he does. He does a great job, you know, playing that character. You know, I had a fun time with it, so I'm looking forward to the next one. But all right, Dean.
I was thinking the world of comic books. You know, the Dean was the TS to my Brody. You know, to go with the Kevin Smith analogy there.
That is completely accurate. Yeah, I would completely say that's accurate. I could still see the ghoul laying in his basement playing NHL 94. With all his comic books boarded in plastic.
No, it was NBA Live 95, actually, and we played that.
Oh,
yeah. NBA Live 95.
I was going to say, okay.
Vicious okay. Matches.
Okay, Sega boy.
Oh, show.
it was indeed on the Sega.
So next, I learned that George Romero, King of Horror favorite, was going to make a Goosebumps film back in the 90s. He was going to make a Goosebumps film based on the R.L. Stine entry Welcome to Deadhouse, where he was going to be expanding on Stein's story as well as tweaking the villain. And, you know, he was going to be keeping this as a family-friendly entry. He even penned a full screenplay, but ultimately this never got made, and Welcome to Deadhouse ended up becoming an episode for the 90s Goosebumps TV series. I read a letter from George Romero from September 9th, 1995, where he talked about his and this was somebody from the Goosebumps organization he was writing to, where he was writing about his excitement about getting the opportunity to make this film and how he read the Goosebumps books to his 12-year-old kid, and that how he has always wanted to make films for a young audience. Unfortunately, this did not come to pass. And in a way, he did make films for a young audience, because I saw Day of the Dead for the first time when I was like 12.
not for a young
that
audience,
is,
but still.
You know, would have been interesting to see Romero step into that realm. You know, R.L. Stein has been massively influential to an entire generation of Scary Story fans, and it would have been interesting to see what someone of George Romero's place inside this very large and all-encompassing genre would have brought to the Goosebumps table back in the 90s. But alas, this is a film that did not come to pass.
No, never got made, but of course we've talked about that. At least I've talked about that, where Romero has tons of screenplays and scripts that just never got to see the light of day. You know, he was always writing. He was always trying to create things and just never really got to where he wanted to get to with making these movies, especially family-friendly movies, because he always wanted to make one, like you had said, Dean. But he always wanted to make one for the kids and just never got there. Just couldn't find the funding, couldn't find the studio, and, you know, what could have been would have been amazing, you know, to see a big-screen adaptation of Welcome to the Dead House, which is a great episode of Goosebumps from back in the day, but to see Romero behind the camera for that would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
All right. Indeed. So what else do we have, Dean?
The final thing that I want to talk about is, being that we are approaching the Halloween season, like I know it's the fall time, but I feel like October 1st is the true kickoff, at least in my opinion.
You can
disagree if so choose, but
completely agree.
We know that on October 5th, the second season of the Chucky series will be hitting USA and Sci-Fi, and I am here to tell you that in partnership with the Chucky series and USA and Sci-Fi, Elsian Brewing has announced that they are making a special Halloween season pumpkin beer that is going to be called Chucky, a Killer Wit. And this is going to be a pumpkin wit beer with cranberry, along with notes of chamomile and cinnamon. And it is currently available at select bars and retailers across the country.
I heard there's a specific way you're supposed to drink pumpkin beer.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, I feel like this is an appropriate discussion when we get further into the season, we will discuss pumpkin beers. I'll tell you what, as a segment for our program, what I will do one night for our show is I will pick up a couple, like two or three singles of pumpkin beers, popular big name ones that are available across the land, and I'll do a vertical taste testing live on the air, and I'll give my honest opinions.
Yeah, I'll do the same. It'll be fucking delicious because I love fucking pumpkin beer. But yeah, to close that out, there is a local brewery in Pennsylvania, from where Monkey and I are from, called Neshaminy, and they released a beer called John of the Dead, which is dedicated to George A. Romero. All proceeds of the beer go to the George A. Romero Foundation. So they haven't released it locally yet, but yeah, it's called John of the Dead. It's going to be available in places where we're from, Monkey, in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh especially. A beer honoring George A. Romero, John of the Dead. I can't wait to try it. I've been looking at all my beer distributors recently, and they're like, oh, yeah, we might get some. And I'm like, yeah, hopefully. I want to pick up a six-pack of John of the Dead. Raise one up for George.
Nice. That's very similar. I see all around here, and I've picked up many of the different many of the different canned varieties. When I see them, it's like the pale from the crypt beers that they have.
Not available
here
on the East Coast,
and,
you asshole.
Yeah. And, well, they're
I've been looking. It's just not available on the East Coast.
I have a photo of it that I need to. Here it is. And I have to see. And I believe that this is one that is available on the East Coast. And I do believe it's a seasonal. It's a double IPA from Pariah Brewing Company that is called Jusen Voorhees. And the can is like
nice.
a hockey mask that's like, but it's on an orange with like a stem. I'm gonna send this to you guys. I believe this is something that's an East Coast beer, but I have to look it up.
Yeah, because I've been looking all over for, you know, a Pale from the Crypt can just for the King, man. And, yeah, it's just you just can't fucking find that shit on the East Coast.
No. Yeah, it's a West Coast thing. But John of the Dead is the East Coast. So I'm hoping that some of these breweries around here pick it up and carry it because I would love to have it. So we'll see. But anyway, so we are going to get into the movie for tonight, which is Glorious, directed by Rebecca McKendry, a previous guest of the show. If you remember back in the day, you know, during our original run, we had her on the show. We talked to her. But we're talking about this movie tonight. So, Dean, this is your pick. Give us a plot. Give us what you thought, and let's kick this off.
Yes, this a Shudder original directed by Rebecca McKendry. Screenplay by Josh and David Henry, starring Simmons.
Technical difficulties?
Dean. You're cutting in and out, my friend. Oh, we've lost him.
He'll be back in just a moment. In the meantime, listen to the sexy, sultry sound of Talking Chair.
Well, I'll pick it up. I'll pick it up where he left off. I know it's a dick, so I will. Okay.
Somebody walking
so, anyway,
through construction
that was
zone.
Yeah. Okay. Suddenly we are, but anyway, I will pick it up where he left off. Also, I'll give you a plot of this movie. A young man decides to take a break on the side of a road to a rest stop, and when he goes into the bathroom, he discovers there's a glory hole in the stall. And when he goes and sits down, there's a demigod of Lovecraftian levels on the other side, and he has to make an ultimate sacrifice in order to save the world. So that is the basic plot of Glorious, not the Bobby Roode story, but the story of a Lovecraftian god and one man who has to make a sacrifice to save the world. And like I had said, Rebecca McKendry, she was a previous guest of the show way back in the day. But, you know, this movie is one of hers that she wrote with her husband, who co-wrote it, David Ian McKendry. You know, it's a Shudder exclusive, so you could check it out on there. I'm sure the monkey found a way to discover it through that way. So
yes, I did. Yes, I did.
I personally, I love this movie. Like, it's a quick movie. You know, it's one of those movies where it's a bottle kind of movie where you're in this one location the entire time. J.K. Simmons as the voice of this demigod is great because he's constantly just berating Wes, the character played by Ryan Quantane of True Blood fame. And you get to see some really cool, gory set pieces as we, you know, you go into the third act. It's just a lot of cosmic horror that I think Lovecraft would be a huge fan of. So going into that, once the Dean comes back, but we're going to go with the Ghoul first. What do you think about Glorious?
I mean, listen, when the Dean, you know, had brought this up last week, I don't remember if it maybe it was you, Monkey, who was like, yeah, this isn't that movie about that glory hole or something like that? But I had never heard of this. Like, I had no idea about this movie. It wasn't on my list. Like, when I got Shudder and started going through all the various films, like, somehow it just never – like, I think I remember seeing the image on the screen of it, and it kind of reminded me of the – because it had the same color palette as Bliss. So for some reason, I think I just kind of, like, glossed right over it and just, like, kept on going down the thing. This movie was something, that's for sure. You know, you would think that this was right up my alley. You know, a glory hole based freaking demigod. It was a ride. You know, this movie had its ups and downs. It is a short film. It had some lulls to it, but for the most part, yeah, I did find this to be quite entertaining, quite funny. Gott is hysterical. J.K. Simmons, you know, big applause for him as the world devouring demigod. And I think Ryan Quantane, however you say his name, you know, I think he did all right. You know, it reminded me a lot of Saw. In a weird sort of way, because again, you're locked in one bathroom, you're in this area, except, you know, instead of, you know, two people bouncing off of each other, you've got a man and a god. It's like a bad joke, you know.
Dean, are you back with us?
Yes.
So you picked Glorious, directed by Rebecca McKendry. What did you think about
it? I did. So I've had this one on my list for quite some time, and when it finally hit Shudder, I was surprised to see, and I didn't know if it was going to be related in somehow, that it had that kind of, like, the imagery had the same schemes as Mandy and Color Out of Space that we've covered on the show, with that, like, pink and purple like design, and I was like, I wonder if this is going to be like in the realm of those things. And when all was said and done, like, I thought the concept was hilarious and like a talking glory hole. That's why I put it on my list. And, you know, I thought this was in some ways or others. And, I thought that they did a pretty good job crafting, like, a pretty out there story, like, with limited means as far as performance and set and everything. Overall, like, the story was ridiculous, but, you know, I thought this was a fun bathroom adventure.
Monkey, what did you think about Glorious?
Toilet humor.
Exactamundo.
I really wanted to like this movie. This movie, it seemed like it was going to be funny. It seemed like it was going to be quirky. This was annoying. This was annoying as fuck. This movie was long as shit. Small cast that did fucking nothing.
You hate that.
The chick.
Yeah. He's a small cast hater.
The chick that's supposed to, you know, be the love interest, I just couldn't look at her. She had a face that, like, just irritated the fuck out of me. It was like looking at Hatchet face every time she showed up on
screen.
Oh,
no way. Brendan's cute.
Kind of reminds me of Carol Kane.
Great call.
No, it's just, this movie just annoyed the living fuck out of me. I have these two people, that, like, this movie would have been great if you had done it as a short for Creepshow. If you had cut half an hour out of this thing, this movie could have been tolerable. But an hour and a half.
Good point, Monkey. Good point.
An hour and a half of this, you know, is...
The Tales
from
the Dark Side episode.
Yeah. It was
precisely
just
the series
long.
Actually did think about for this was Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah. Because when we have the cutaway scenes where we sit there and show people in the background, no one's actually doing anything except literally just standing around almost moot in the background, just like almost like mannequins. So there is no real fucking extra cast in this movie. It's just this movie had potential, and when it goes there and it's cool. But at the same time, I wanted more as far as his actions and what he did. And I think we could have spent a lot of time just flashing, showing the shit that he'd done instead of spending an hour and 15 minutes in the fucking bathroom. We could have cut that time and done different shots of different things that led up to this thing. But, yeah, okay. But, so, that, yeah.
Okay, well, so let's get into it. So,
shorted out
a man, Wes, standing in a black void with a woman off screen speaking with him. He suddenly awakens as we see him behind the wheel of his car, driving to an unknown destination with a red box running shotgun. He pulls off to the Route 37 rest area in order to use the restroom and wash up and do what he has to do. And we see a woman, a mysterious woman, help him get a candy bar out of the machine, and we get a shot of a plant that suddenly becomes cosmic. So it becomes covered in like a purple glow. So we know there's something weird going on. We don't know yet. So after a minor freak out in his car, which he's living out of currently, Wes recalls his girlfriend Brenda and calls her, leaving her several messages, which she doesn't respond to. So he eventually throws a phone, which causes him to just have another breakdown, which, fuck, I broke my phone. This sucks. So he eventually finds a bottle of whiskey in the back of his car, and he decides to just have a fucking party. I'm going to go use the fire pit. I'm going to light the fire pit, and I'm going to drink, and I'm going to have fun and dance. And
Yes, all of this. And so, I do want to say, when he went into his car and before taking out the whiskey and started screaming, there was a brief image where you saw a female character. And it happened so – I don't know about you guys, but when I saw this, it happened so quickly that I couldn't tell if this was an adult woman or like a child, like a daughter.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell which was which, and so then it had me thinking, okay, like this is a man that obviously is running from a tragedy. Did something happen to his daughter and he's lost it and is on the road and on the run? Did something happen to a girlfriend / wife and he's lost it and is, you know, on the road and on the run? So that groundwork
that is a good
laid for story elements that came later, but I felt that they gave that flash so quick, and obviously we see some photographs not long after that kind of clarifies, but my first thought.
Yeah.
And
no,
again,
I, to
lead into something more, you know, is like, you know, this sage kind of character, if you will, you know, there to provide, you know, wisdom a lot, you know, on the road, you know, the rules of the road. No.
At the very least, I'm sorry, but yeah, when you call Chekhov's gun, let's say, you know, she should have showed up again at the end because the way, you know, when she looks at the plant and she sees the goopy shit on it, she kind of gets a look on her face like she knows what's about to happen. So, like, you know, you get the idea, like, she was some kind of, like, sage wisdom giver or something, you know. She helps the guy get the candy out. She makes the comment about, you know, not taking the time or whatever, the patience thing that she says. She knows what's about to happen, so why does she never return to at least kind of give us some kind of something at the end? There should have been a return to this character.
Yeah, I agree.
I will talk about that at the end. So Wes wakes up the next morning on the grounds of the rest stop, and he discovers that burnt remains of his pants, so he just fucking burned his pants. So now he's just in his boxers, and he makes a beeline for the bathroom and aggressively vomits as we hear a man's voice talk through the glory hole, asking if he's okay. And the glory hole is surrounded by a multi-headed snake with a nude woman's body. You know, it's an ornate type of painting.
Not
so
really.
After a brief exchange, to me, it was, you know, we're talking about the movie. Then after a brief exchange, which involves Wes touching his face after touching the toilet, which contains fecal matter, vomit, and various kinds of semen, introductions are made. Wes introduces himself while trying to see if he can see the man in the stall, and before leaving, the man tells him in order to properly pronounce his name, Wes will have to hold the tip of his tongue gently between his first finger and thumb. And then he makes Wes pronounce "got another one," which, when properly pronounced, becomes "get another fella." And he's a very lonely old god. So from this point on, I'm going to call him Gat because I don't like fucking pronouncing the entire name.
Get another
fella. So we'll call him Gat from this point on. So Wes doesn't believe what he's hearing, that he's speaking to a demigod in the bathroom stall via glory hole, and thinks if he should pick a god name too, maybe I'll call myself Thor. So Gat just is like, are you okay, Thor? So he's willing to call him Thor, whatever he wants to be called. So Wes finds a photo of his girlfriend Brenda in the stall and attempts to look at the demigods of the glory hole, and Gat warns him not to look at him. But on the second attempt, the demigod roars loudly, which knocks him into the parking lot. And Wes gets back into his car and discovers Brenda, his girlfriend, sitting in the passenger seat. She told him that she warned him not to look in the stall and begin fucking just becoming like a spider, fucking completely creepy being.
Fucking weird shit and everything. So here's just a couple quick questions now. You know, but between the four of us here, we're all men. Has anybody here ever partaken in a glory hole?
Negative.
No. I've seen them. Never partaken.
You can all be honest. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
I've never seen
glory holes.
I'll be honest. I was a truck driver, you know, and I've never even seen a glory hole. Like,
really?
The entire time I was a truck driver for 5 years, I never even seen a single glory hole. You know, so I'm not even. Like,
I've seen a bunch.
I've seen lot lizards, but I've never seen a glory hole. Ever.
Yeah. No, I've seen a few. You know, like, I've seen one with duct tape around it, and it's just like, fucking, oh, yeah. You know where that's going to go in.
So for all of my debaucherous, you know, exploits, you know, that too is something that I have never partaken in, mostly because I was just being horrified over the idea of what could actually be on the other side of that wall, mostly that it would possibly be of the male persuasion. Yep, it's just a hard fucking no.
Okay,
like, I'm good.
Yeah,
okay,
but you guys have actually.
You guys have actually seen one? Because I've never even seen one.
I haven't.
I've seen a couple of them in my travels.
I know of places that have them, though. So, in New Jersey, in various locations.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, on the turnpike, you know, I've seen several. You go into a truck stop with a diner attached. You go into that bathroom stall, and then you see that hole with the tape. You know, just sticking out, protruding, and it's like, oh, I know what this is for. Oh, God, please don't let anybody in here. And I'm just trying to take a shit real quick and get out. I'm just praying nobody goes into that stall. I was like, I've seen plenty of glory holes, and yeah.
So now the flip to that whole thing, obviously, you know, being that none of us have partaken in the glory hole, which is, well, fine, again, like I said, no judgment. We're all men here. We're good. Dude,
yeah.
Men, the
amen.
In which he was – sitting there, vomiting into that fucking nasty toilet.
Horrific.
And just, like, rubbing his
absolutely
face all
horrific
up on it. I've been in many of these park bathrooms over the course of my lifetime, and I was just absolutely, like, just horrified. Vomited in a park bathroom. That I don't know. I don't know if I've ever vomited in a park bathroom, but I have been in them and been in some nasty situations. So the fact that gas proceeds to then, like, piss off all of the various things, like, it is, like, my worst nightmare come to life, you know, because, like, this is exactly the kind of shit, like, I think of. So, like, when I'm in that bathroom stall using my foot to flush that fucking lever because I ain't touching that damn thing with my hand, thank you, Gat, for completely, you know, justifying my move right there.
Well, especially you, Ghoul, because you're the kind of person where you're fucking terrified of just, you know, using public restrooms and stuff like that, you know, and you with your bougie
that's
butt.
That's because I can't wipe
you know,
my ass.
So.
I don't use fucking dry toilet tissue, man. Listen, I said, like, okay, just like people probably don't believe in God, you know, I don't believe in dry toilet tissue. It just doesn't make any sense. You clean your body with water, you know what I mean? So why are you going to wipe your ass with a dry tissue?
All right, King, so I know you want to sit there and get going, so go ahead.
So, yeah, Wes sees in the next stall, there's a red glowing mass next to him, and that's where the demigod resides. He tries to get a quick glimpse of the climbing up a urinal, but fails. And then Wes finds that there's a vent that he can get through if he takes off the top of the toilet holder, and he can just climb through the vent and get away while fucking Gat's talking the entire time. You've been chosen.
Monologuing.
You know, you're meant to be here. So Wes manages to get through the vent and crawl through in search of freedom, thinking he's made his escape. And then he hears the demigod's voice once again, realizing that he's back in that same bathroom. And he attempts to hide his memories, but that's also kind of useless because Gat knows what he's thinking about and tells him to just fucking knock it off. Like, you need to be in the moment, so I'm trying to tell you of what's going on. So that's when Gat tells him the story of a being of pure energy living all alone in an ocean of infinite nothing. One day, the being discovered the power to give physical form to its thoughts and feelings causes unwanted children. But we have a piss break for Wes. I love this scene. He's like, all right, I just have to go real quick. Unbelievable. All right, are you done? Are you done? No, one more second. I swear to God, I'm listening. I'm listening. All right. Are you done? Yep. Yeah, I'm good. All right. Continue. So the power disturbed it greatly. So soon these physical forms became the children, filling the void, and he set out to destroy them, but his oldest child sliced him in the side, the blood from this being creating the universe, so all planets, everything that we know existed because of this slash. So he begged his children to close the wound, and his children agreed, but only if he would allow this new life to continue to exist. He loathed humanity, so he secretly created a being of pure destruction, capable of undoing all life and returning back to the infinite nothing, and that's how we get Gat. So Gat Woo-hoo! Is like the ultimate destroyer. Yeah.
The destroyer.
He's the ultimate Julia. Form. He's the ultimate destructor. So,
choose
you know,
the form of your destruction.
Jello!
So, but what happened is that the children of this being overpowered him, and they drained his energy and locked him away, and they also hid Gat away into the ether, where he remains till this moment. He wants to stop the world from ending because he's starting to have feelings for humanity, but the power to hide from his father is weakening. So once he fully enters the material world, his father's purpose for him will be fulfilled. Total world annihilation. But only Wes can stop him, and the only way to stop him is a blowjob, maybe? Just a quick sucky-sucky? You know, we don't know.
Yo, I'm putting this thing through the hole here. It looked like it got a hole in it. You know, it's like some kind of like veiny kind of shit, you know, sticking out. You know, so, you know.
So we
just like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what to do.
We don't fully know yet. We don't fully know yet what it is that he needs to do. We don't know yet. We just know that Wes is playing a part in this. So at the same time, a property supervisor named Gary arrives at the rest stop to investigate the grounds and see what cars
Yay!
Are around. He hears Wes screaming, but discovers that the door is locked. So Gat warns him of consequences of opening the door, but relents and allows the door to be opened, and the property supervisor enters. Wes demands that Gat let them go, but that's not going to happen. And now Gat has to do something about Gary because he can't let this guy go because now he knows everything, and he can't just go telling what's going on. So Gary tries to open the stall door, but gets a cosmic charge through the hand. And then Gat orders Wes back into the stall and tells him he'll take care of everything. Just go and just wait. I will fucking take care of everything because you obviously can't, so let me do it. And that's when Gat decides that he has to tear Gary apart with his tentacles as a rain of blood and fluids begins to rain down on Wes. And we see a whole rush of blood wash away the photo of Brenda as we see Gary's heart on the floor of the stall. Whoop, that's what's left of Gary.
Yeah, but also now we know that Wes is a fucking cunt bitch, all right? Because we have fellow men. We have a fellow man here who's supposed to come in, help him out. You know, maybe they can figure something out together against Gap, but no. He, you know, just curls up into a little ball of self-preservation and just lets Gap go to town on Gary. Gary didn't do a fucking thing. He's just sitting there trying to check the toilets and shit. You know, but, you know, Gap tells him, go into the fucking stall. Go into the fucking stall, bitch. And he fucking listens and curls up literally on the toilet, you know, and lets Gap do his thing.
Yeah, and we see the tentacles growing down, and we see the rain of blood. Then once the glory hole starts to glow, Wes knows what he has to do with Gat explaining that once they're done, he will return to his ethereal form. And his father will no longer be able to find him. And then as Gat talks, Wes grabs Gary's fucking leg and goes, let's go, Gary! And shuts the bust down the door of the bathroom. I was like, that's the greatest fucking moment for me in this movie. Of him grabbing Gary's fucking disembodied leg and let's go, Gary, and trying to free himself, which of course he can't. It's fate. So he is fucking stuck there. So eventually Wes says, fuck it, and decides, if I have to do this, I'm going to go for it. So he pulls down his pants and shoves his penis through the glory hole. Do what you have to do, Gat. And Gat's like, is that your fucking penis? Like, did you think that's your... human penis was going to fucking save the human? What the fuck, dude?
Yeah. He's like, wait, what's that? What's that?
Like, what the fuck is your problem, dude? Like, no. Like, I didn't ask for your penis. He's like, well, what do you want? He's like, well, I need your liver.
Why would I want your penis?
And eventually, Gat says that he needs what's his liver. Not the whole thing, but like a piece. Like, you could live with 25% of your liver. And then Gat tosses him a broken piece of glass. And he's like, you have to do it. You have to be willing to cut out a piece of your liver to save the universe. That's what I need. So you're going to have to go ahead and do it. So Wes tells Gat the story of his dad. How he was a terrible husband and father and drove his mother to kill himself. His dad told him that it was a selfish woman that did this and not his fault. So it's, of course, like, he's trying to place the blame at this point. You know what you have to do. Gat told you what you have to do. So now you're just placing the blame on your dad who drove your mom to suicide. That doesn't matter. Gat still needs you to do what you need to do.
You know what sucks about this now? Yeah. Like, and here's the thing. Like I said, this movie kind of has, you know, it had these points where there were lulls, good points, bad points. The comedy,
yeah,
I'm finding good. The overall story arc, though, the plot of this, it's so predictable. I've seen so many movies in which, you know, you have this character who's going to be locked in a situation, and, you know, he's got to make some kind of decision or whatever it is, and you know that they're there for some kind of punishment. So, like, I kind of see where the monkey is coming from when he says, like, hey, you know what, they could have went a different way with this and maybe gave us, you know, a piece-by-piece build-up showing us the things that he did, which ultimately will lead to us seeing him make the sacrifice that he may or may not make. I kind of agree that maybe that would have been a better way to showcase this movie, because there were times where it's just like this. Here we're getting this in exposition. Why not show us? Give us a flashback. Give us some other characters. Give us some more scenery, something to see other than this shit and piss and cum-filled bathroom.
Exactly.
And and like I had said, I completely fucking agree. This is like a Tales of the Dark Side episode. I was like, this is like a 30-minute thing, you know, where, like, I felt myself watching Tales from the Dark Side.
I'll take it even further. Tales from the Crypt. You give this like a good 48-minute run. 48-minute run on HBO. You can give us the full gore.
Yeah.
You can give us all the stuff that you gave us in the film, but you can definitely cut a lot of the exposition out and give us, you know, a stronger showing with it. And apologies to Rebecca. You know, it's just us being honest about stuff. You know, she didn't write it.
That's the you know, he did say that at the top, like that if this was like, you know, pared down as like a Creepshow segment for the Creepshow series, I believe the month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the concepts he shows. It all makes sense. Like, in that kind of format is like a series episode, like an anthology episode of a series.
Mm. So we see that the bathroom begins to crumble and break apart. Outside, Wes can see that Gat's father is approaching, which he thinks is beautiful. It's all cosmic horror in space.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Would you do it for Brenda? Would you do it for Brenda? Like, would you cut out your liver for her? And doubtful as Wes broke her heart.
Dirty Brenda.
Trust, according to Gat. So Wes can fuck you in the glory hole and get the first glimpse of Gat. And that Gat and him don't break, you know, their gaze. And that doesn't break him. It doesn't turn him insane like Gat says it would, but it puts him into a clutch-back void where he's confronted by a giant teddy bear saying, I love you. I love you. And then it opens its chest and pushes Wes inside as Wes once again wakes up in the bathroom stall. And he peed a little. And, I mean, who wouldn't? Because, I mean, death is on the way. You know, so you're gonna pee a little. You know, I get respect for that, because I would too.
You all know my feelings on piss in movies. Like, I feel like that is one of the greatest and thankfully not used so much that it's annoying things that they'll do in a horror movie, you know? So when a character ends up pissing themselves while, like, standing or laying, Ginny in Friday the 13th Part 2, you know, like, that is always, like, the one thing that pops right into my head, because it's like, that girl, she was scared shitless, you know, of this man with a fucking machete that's running after her. But meanwhile, a rat came traipsing in front of her, and that made her piss her pants.
Herself. You know, I love it. And, like, we talked about Phantasm a couple of weeks ago when the groundskeeper dies and he pisses himself after he dies. I was like, like, that's just such a human response. Like, you're going to avoid your bowels, you know.
Yeah, and the same thing with last week with all the moons.
I didn't see that, so I can't comment. So Wes calls out for Dad's dad to come get his son. Daddy God has found him and tears a hole into his bathroom and closes the vacuum, dragging Wes around. Gat can't protect him for much longer, and he keeps telling him, I can't protect you for much longer. We need to proceed with this. And Wes needs to let the memory of Brenda to live on. Like, you need to let her memory live on so she can exist. And Gat is able to remove her from Wes's memory to show him what's at stake. Like, so if you think I can't remove her from your memory, I fucking can't. So you need to make this decision right now because Daddy's coming and he's fucking pissed. So eventually Wes agrees to do whatever again.
I love people blank out people's faces in this nature. I feel like this is also an effective horror movie move. Even like, you know, take it to The Matrix when Smith does that to Neo's mouth at the beginning of the film. Like, it's something that I remember either from, like, it might have been a Tales from the Crypt or a Tales from the Dark Side or something, but I remember seeing it in some anthology type of series at one point and being like, wow, that's just fucking frightening. You know, the idea of that I am a completely featureless human being, and that's just, you know, again, we identify so much by what we look like or what we're seeing when we look at somebody. So to just imagine a world in which we're all featureless is just like, yikes.
That's
and
why the ghoul like looking at himself in the mirror during sex.
Well, and what's interesting too is that they say that when we dream, we don't see faces. Like, we can't objectively see faces in dreams, which I think is so weird, you know, because I thought back to some dreams that I've had, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? It's kind of right. Like, I don't remember what that person looked like in that dream. So they say that when you dream, you don't see the faces of people. Like, it's your mind can't create it. I've had that a couple times where I'm like, you know what? It's kind of right. Like, I get the idea of the person I'm thinking of, but it's not them totally. Like, you know, like I've had a few dreams where I'm like, yeah, that's that person, but it's not really them. It's kind of like my mind trying to create the vision of them in my mind, but it's not really them. Like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't remember enough of my dreams. You know, typically when I do, it's when I'm in that period of time between, like, let's say, you know, like the last 2 hours of sleep. A lot of time I'll wake up at like 4 o'clock in the morning real quick, go right back to bed, and then within that time frame, I'll enter the dream state and actually have some kind of a dream that I might remember. But yeah, you know, like, I know I've had dreams where I can almost swear I remember seeing people's faces, but you know what? Then again, like you just said there too, like, I remember having dreams that, like, I know who the person is before me, like, I know the presence, but I can't recall if I would see their face or not.
Like, how fucking weird is that? Like, it's so weird.
Especially all the
when you think about that,
man. Because all the sex dreams that we've had, we have definitely seen their faces. With all
the I don't know if I can say that
stuff.
Though. Like, with certainty, I don't know if I could say that. And after I read that study, I was like, you know what? I don't remember if I know anybody's faces in my dreams. Like, I don't know if like they're, like, I know the person, but are they there? Like,
I have a sex dream. Because besides obviously waking up with, like, you know, a fully erect rod, like,
I'll wake up
and I'll be like, you know, I don't know. There's been those moments where I wake up and I'm kind of like slightly humping the mattress a little bit type of deal, you know?
Yeah,
like
I've been there.
Like, kind of like a dog, like when you try to pull a blanket up, you know what I mean? And they just, like, automatically, like, start fucking humping on the leg or whatever. It's like, it's just an auto response. Like,
Slow down, Rover.
Like, I'm, like, going down, and it's just like, I kind of start waking up and realize, like, oh, fuck, am I humping the bed? What the fuck is wrong with me?
Oh, I've totally had those fucking dreams. You know, where I imagine, you know, the girl on top of me and stuff like that. And all of a sudden I wake up and I'm fucking thrusting in the air. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? What the hell? Like, you know, there's nobody here.
So oh, Becky. Oh, Becky.
And, yeah. Yeah, no, it's normally Marie. And I'm like, all right. So I had a dream about her again. and I'm like, she's not here. What the fuck is that? You know, it's dreams are fucking weird. Like, they really are. Like, when you think about it, like, you know, they're little movies that we play in our heads. You know, but you don't really remember faces. Like, I can't remember faces. So when I saw that study, I was like, that's fucking cool. But anyway, going back into the movie, Wes discovers that he has to cut this liver out. So he eventually does, and he's going to go do it. And Gat's like, yeah, it's on the other side. So, you know, you're about to cut the wrong side. So he begins to slice himself open as memories of Brenda begin to flash by with Wes. And then we find out that Brenda found out that that little red box of photographs that he had earlier in the movie are because he's a fucking killer. And he has photographs of women in the last moments before they die in this box. So she discovers it, and she's like, oh, shit, my boyfriend's a killer. And he's like, oh, yeah, he discovered my secret. Yes, you have to go now.
Shocked and horrified, you know. And, I mean, look, the reality is if she was the right one, she would have supported his dreams and aspirations.
Yes. Yep. She's been like, baby, I love these. Like, I just watched Devil's Rejects the other day, and Baby Firefly is awesome. So let's just do that. Let's just kill people. And we could just go on the run. But no, she's like, holy shit, you're a fucking killer. And Ryan Quintain, you know, who is just amazing in this fucking movie with the knife. And then you know what he did. Like, he killed her, and that's the entire reason for this whole escape to the rest stop. But when he's cutting into himself, and then he gets the flashes to the women, you know, digging into his side. I was like, it was total like a Maniac moment for me. Where at the end of Maniac, you see all the people that he killed at the end trying to rip his fucking head off. And in this moment, you see them digging into his fucking side and trying to rip his fucking liver out. And I was like,
yeah, very Cronenberg.
So good.
Very, very Cronenberg as well. You know, like those are the types of things I was thinking, you know, like look at them like reaching in, the hands are going in there and everything. Yeah, I really enjoyed the use of special effects in this film. I definitely give props to the digital effects end of things as well, because like the whole space sequence, the animated sequence on the toilet stall walls were a lot of fun. Those were things that I definitely thought were done very well in this movie.
So as this happens, we see that he's doing it. And then we see the victims that he's had digging into his side. So eventually we start to see the tentacles come out and rip the liver out. And when the stall door opens, that's when Gat reveals himself to Wes. And he's a fucking fleshy fucking massive horror. He's like Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Fucking gigantic. I was like, oh, shit, it's Krang. You know, this huge, messy flash of horror, which he told Wes, like, if you ever see what I actually look like, you're going to go fucking insane. Like, your mind's going to fucking explode because you're going to realize that all these things that you never thought could exist do exist. But instead, you're going
to
face
to
Wes.
Blow your mind.
Yeah. As Wes wakes up on the bathroom floor, it's completely clean now, save for Wes's blood and bile on the floor. And Gat tells him that it's now finished and that now Gat can return to the ether and the threat is past. So Wes is like, fuck, yeah, man, we did it. I'm a fucking hero. And he's like, you're not a hero, dude. Like, you're really not. He's like, heroes are remembered. You're not going to be remembered. Like, you are who you are, and you're going to be forgotten. And that's exactly what you fucking deserve, because like Gat, Wes and him are members and being of destruction. So Wes is like, well, no, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, I may have done some shit back in the day, you know, but no, I saved the universe. And he's like, all right, well, anyway, I am saying goodbye, and he leaves. So Gat goes away, and Wes finally is able to leave the restroom, walking out to the daylight and eventually stumbling to the ground, succumbing to his injuries, and dies. And then we cut to credits. So that is glorious from 2022. Again, I love movies like this that are small casts. I know, Monkey, you're not a big fan of it, but I thought J.K. Simmons was fucking so fucking great as Gat. You know, just him trying to talk to Wes the entire time, you know, how to pronounce my name properly. This is why I'm here. This is what you need to do. But he picked him for that purpose, like, because Wes is a fucking killer. So it's like, you're going to be punished for what you did. You're going to save the universe, sure. But at the same time, like, you are going to die because of what you did.
Yeah, that, but also, not, like, the ghoul heads. Sorry, go ahead, ghoul.
No, you go, man. You're good.
No, I was just gonna say super fast is because again, you know, we have this moment of him, you know, dying at the end. This is when we should have had that chick at the truck stop showing up again as like
oh,
some
yeah.
kind of like you
I
know
totally
prophecy
agree.
Or something,
you know, as a quick, she should have been the closer to the movie of, you know, saying some kind of, like, you know, thing of wisdom, you know, but, you know, she showed up again just to close the movie.
And having her eyes glow, like cosmic, like purple or something.
Ooh, nice.
Exactly.
You know?
So, like, yeah, even her, because remember, at one point we get Gat saying that, you know, I'm neither male nor female. You know, I am whatever it is that I am at any point. You could have had him walk away as her, and it would have turned out that she was Gat to begin with. So the whole entire thing had begun with her and ended with her, and you could have rolled with something to that effect. You know, I mean, there was just so many ways. But, yeah, really what I wanted to say and just commend was, yeah, J.K. Simmons obviously stole the show. So great as Gat.
Yeah.
The tone, the monotonous quality of it, the sarcasm, just such a perfect pick for a demigod of this nature. He was wonderful.
And especially when he was so calm and collected, but then he would get angry because Wes was trying to leave, and he's like, you are going to stay here! And I was like, okay, that's amazing. Like, you know, the fact that he could get so fucking angry and then raise the level of his voice. You know.
But you know, he can't because he's George Jameson.
Wes, how do you photos of Spider-Man? What? Get me Spider-Man! Like, you know, that would be great. But no, he did such a great job in telling the story of where he came from, this Lovecraftian horror type of a sequence. It was really well done. But yeah, I wish that trucker came back at the end and her eyes are glowing, you know, green and purple, you know, and she's like, I told you were the one.
About to glow.
You know.
And about to glow. And you need to know. You learn to live. Live to love. Sorry.
You got that go.
It would have worked so much better, but
the power is deep
as a whole. But as a whole, like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, we need new horror, and this is new horror. Like, this isn't a remake. This isn't a reboot. This isn't completely original, and that's why I really kind of liked it. And not just because Rebecca McKendry directed it, because we need more movies like this. Like, people talking about movies, and they're like, "Well, there's nothing new in horror anymore." It's like, "Well, here you go, Glorious." Watch this movie. It's new. It's original, you know, and it's a quick hit, 84 minutes. Like, you know, yeah, we need more of these movies where it's something giving you a new take on Lovecraftian horror. Like we talked about Color Out of Space, and Richard Stanley wanted to do more of those movies. Like, yes, please. Like, I would love more Lovecraftian horror movies. I love cosmic horror. So I was glad to see it here fully represented. In a Goryeo. So we are going to do my pick next week to kick off spooky season. So we're going into it. So I thought about it a lot over the past couple of days about what I wanted to do. But we talked about Romero a lot tonight on this episode. So I'm going to go with a non-dead Romero movie, which is available on Shudder, on Tubi, on Pluto. He did it in 1988, and it's called, I think Mad Monkey might like this, Monkey Shines, An Experiment in Fear.
Okay.
So we have a guy who's a paraplegic and a pet monkey that becomes obsessed with him and the horrors that follow. It's Romero doing something that isn't dead-related in 1988. Kind of around the same time that Stephen King got into his accident, which is interesting, you know, because he got hit by a car and, you know, could have ended up that same way. So we're going to talk about it next week on the show, Monkey Shines, An Experiment in Fear.
All right, then.
Bum, bum, bum.
And it's also on Shudder, too, guys. So if you want to find it on Shudder, because I know I have Shudder, Ghoul, you have Shudder. So it's on there. So we're going to be talking about that from 1988. So that being said, thank you so much for your film pick of the week, Glorious Dean. Want to go ahead?
My
and
pleasure. Have a good night, everyone. We'll see you right back here next week for Monkey Shines.
All right. Monkey, we're going to be talking about your family history next week with Monkey Shines. So we'll see you back
fucking
here next shining. Week.
Bringing it up just, you know, cousins who made it in Hollywood and I didn't, fucking asshole. Anyway,
Anyway, yeah, I'm the Mad Monkey.
A note of jealousy?
Possibly. Thanks for listening to tonight's episode of Talking Terror. Thanks for letting me come in your ears. Good night, everybody. Mwah.
All right. Ghoul, why don't you go ahead and sign yourself off?
PSA, beware the fuzzy glory hole. Besides that, stay scared, everybody. Stay scared.
Unless you like the fuzzy glory hole, which, by all means, go for it. Live your life. If you're out there and you're a trucker or you're just going to glory holes and you just want to get some fun, that's fine. You know what? Because I know when I go to the glory hole, if I don't see a fat cock, I'm kind of disappointed. So enjoy those glory holes, folks. You know, have fun.
Stop bragging, gang.
You know what? Because I don't mind. Like, I'll see a big, you know, I'll see a big one come through, and I'm like, "How do you do, sir?" And I'll give it a little shake,
just,
and you know, we get to know each other.
Not just the king
next
of hearts.
You know, I'm going to
glory holes.
The next thing you know, I'm going to his kid's birthday party. You know, so I mean, it happens. You know, how'd you guys meet, glory hole? Oh, that guy Steve. You know, it's fun. You know, glory holes can be fun if you let it happen. As always, I'm your old pal, the King of Horror, Andy G, thanking you so much for listening to this episode of the show. Tonight, we're, you know, we just had a lot of fun talking about glory hole. So, again, PSA, do it, do not. There is no try. So, hail Satan, hail yourselves, hail Odorous. Watch horror movies, keep America strong. We'll see you back here next week for my pick of the show, Monkey Shines. See you folks later.
Practice safe sex.